From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio. Well, another week, another set of title changes in these parts anyway. Hillary Clinton will be former Secretary of State. It's now Secretary of State John Kerry. And William Mo Cowan will be Senator. And we've got a lot of other stuff that went on this week, a lot of gun talk, also a lot of gun violence, and talk of comprehensive immigration reform in Washington, D.C. Joining me to recap the week's news is Peter Gelsinis from the Boston Herald, Wendy Murphy, attorney and adjunct professor at New England Law, Boston, and State Representative Russell Holmes. Welcome to all of you. So I was actually kind of taken up by John Kerry's farewell tour. First of all, I was kind of surprised he did it. I was glad that he did. And I thought he was very genuinely conflicted. I mean, I know he's been kind of hankering for Secretary of State, if not President, but I bet it was really, really hard after 36 years, 33, whatever it was, to give up his Senate seat. This is really all, I mean, and you know, you're one of 100 people in the country. It's a pretty cool job. Right. He's only one of one now, but I thought he was very eloquent and very touched by...
I was taken by the emotion he showed.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that was...
I know.
He seemed very real.
I've
never seen that.
I agree.
I mean, to that extent.
I was just going to say the same thing. It's so odd to see him warm and fuzzy because our expectations are where they are. I think it made him seem so appealing, and a lot of folks were probably like, where was this when he was running, and where was this when he was representing us?
I thought that touched, too, at the beginning of his confirmation hearing when he acknowledged the woman who came in and screaming and he
reflected
back on his own first time there, which I thought was terrific.
Yeah, coming full circle was outstanding.
Yeah, I thought so.
But
I think
leaving anybody after 28 years is just very difficult. And the camaraderie, I mean, he had been there, I think it was the 7th or 8th longest. And so to have seen so many people come and go and to develop so many relationships, and it happened pretty suddenly. He had been anticipating it, but of course, it still is very impactful.
It's 84, so it's 33 years. Is that right? 36. I don't know.
I think he came in 83, I think, something like
84.
That. But you know, he had that sense of collegiality, you know, that I think he really studied from Ted Kennedy, and I think he really, that was part of his whole kind of...
I also thought he very deftly and aptly set the stage for his agenda when he was talking about American exceptionalism. Let's listen to a little of what he had to say yesterday.
Everyone here knows we are an exceptional country, but we're not exceptional because we say we are or because of birthright. It's not automatic. Being exceptional is not on automatic pilot. Being exceptional requires not that you talk about it. It requires that you do exceptional things, and we have to continue to do that.
You know, what strikes me about that is I remember when this concept of American exceptionalism was first out in the public debate, it was because Bill O'Reilly had been talking about it, and Democrats just consistently trashed him for it. Oh, you're just an arrogant, elitist American, you know, imperialism, blah, 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 blah. I don't know why when John Kerry says it, it gets an applause. When Bill O'Reilly says it gets a thumbs down.
Well, I mean, I think he kind of made the, you know, what he said there kind of sort of underscores that, I think. I mean, I think he speaks to that.
He's saying we have reason to be worried. And he may be agreeing with Bill O'Reilly that we are, but he's saying, you know, first of all, not everybody sees it that way. And, you know, maybe all Americans do, but other countries don't. And this is something that we really have to work at.
Mm. I think he's also pushing back, as you're saying, Bill O'Reilly. He's pushing back on this really being something that's owned by the Republican Party and starting to simply just say, yes, we're exceptional. We all agree with that because, as you're saying, people would push back and say the Democratic Party doesn't really necessarily agree. That's what the Republican Party would say.
Right.
And so I think he's just introducing it and saying, yes, I believe we're exceptional, but let us show why. Let us not just say it. And so I think it's just a different way of looking at it.
I thought he was also interesting. It was very interesting to me that he criticized the corruption in Congress and then fell all over himself saying, well, let me explain what I mean by corruption. I mean, we're not corrupt, but I just mean the influence of money and so forth and so on. I thought that was a bold thing for him to say, and you don't hear that often. But, the idea of corruption mattering I am very attracted to that conversation.
You know, it's interesting, too, because I was thinking about Hillary Clinton when she was talking this week. She's saying she's not sure what she's going to do, and she really hasn't considered running the presidency yet. And she's got all these foundations, and she'd spent so much time being concerned about the plight, really, no other word for it, of women and girl children all over the world. And she was going to continue that fight now in her kind of semi-retired status. I'll be curious to know what kind of cause John Kerry will grab onto, because you have to. If you're, I don't care who you are, the First Lady or Secretary of State, or if you have one of those very prominent, powerful positions, you have to kind of take something, Michelle Obama, obesity, you have to take something as your own.
I think the trap he could fall into is this idea, you know, he's always kind of had this air of the diplomat about him, you know, this sort of way he kind of deals with people. And you know, the idea of, you know, he's traveled around, he's been sent on these little sort of pocket ambassador mission type of things. And yet, you're right. I mean, I think the one thing Hillary did was make her presence known. And I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he does that, if some of that, you know, rebellious spirit that he had, you know, back in 1971 sort of comes through, you know, and he really, you know, sort of says some things and does some things that are more than just sort of, you know, these endless shots of him either getting on a plane or off a plane.
He has that work anyway. Does anybody know? I mean, who decides, like, what his first mission will be, where he'll go? I mean, does the president decide it?
I'm sure he takes his cues from him. Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. The other thing, though, I think is very much to your point, that I think he's thinking big. And I think that he will look to embrace something in the Middle East and try to figure out something with Israel and Palestine. I really think
that's what I would think he would go first.
Yeah, I think that's where he's heading. He sees it as something that we haven't solved in many years. It is really the
On the
true,
other hand, it may be unsolvable. So yes. I don't know if that's the first thing you want to get at.
But you're asking what may he think is the big vision? I think he's going to look for something
big. Well, the other thing, you know, he does have a lot of credibility, too. When you look at the span of his career, he's done things that are interesting, and I think that will, you know, sort of stand him in pretty good stead with people in different countries.
Let's not gush too much, though.
No.
The guy has a weird reputation of being such a cold fish.
True.
And he, you know, he's not walking into the job at a level where I think the expectations are that he will fit nicely into this very high-profile position. I think he has a weird personality, frankly.
Yeah, but people were saying negative things about Hillary Clinton, too, that she was too tough.
She was awesome. And maybe she
was awesome, but they were
maybe,
but going into it.
But maybe because her expectations were so low for her, she could only do well. And I think that's possibly true for Kerry as well. We don't perceive him as the guy who can actually be sincere and passionate. Mm. And maybe he'll rise to the occasion. I just think we can't forget that the guy has done an awful lot of goofy things. He really has.
Sure. Like what?
Well, I mean, just think about Howie Carr's article today lays out so many of them.
Yeah, but those,
the stupid stuff that comes out of his mouth at weird times. And just the salute at the DNC, when he did, welcome, I'm reporting for duty. That was like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Oh,
the guy is goofy.
Well, goofy is good.
I don't think his expectations are low at all. I think that he's been kind of interviewing for the job for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And I think that full circle piece, when you're saying goofiness or not, the fact that he grabbed that moment when the person was there protesting as she began, that's not to me.
Totally
to
off the
of
cuff. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying he doesn't have it in him, and I think he's very qualified. I just think let's not gush about it just because he's from Massachusetts. We'll see what happens.
All right, talking to attorney Wendy Murphy, Boston Herald columnist Peter Galzinis, and State Representative Russell Holmes. Now on to the meat of the matter here, which is the Senate race itself. It's, you know, we just can't – we fall all over ourselves with this. I was thinking about poor Mo Cowan. It was all about the run-up. Nobody really cares that he's got the job now,
right.
I mean, except Mo Cowan. But we're on to the real race now. And it was interesting reading papers today about Republicans coming after Scott Brown. I mean, Scott Brown, I believe he's equivocating. He probably is just not sure he wants to do this again. He doesn't want to have to run this time and then face another election in 2 years and possibly again. It's like,
I don't know if he paid attention to that scene in the Ironworkers Hall, but you know, you've got the real working guy as opposed to the ersatz working guy.
Who's that? You're talking
Scott.
Is the ersatz working guy?
Yeah, I mean, and that's going to be something I think. I mean, even as
Steve
as
Lynch has
primer,
overplayed that card.
Yes,
give me
he
a
has.
Break.
Well, yes,
he's been a congressman for 10 years. When was the last time he was an iron worker?
I mean, it's good. Look, I'll tell you. I'm just telling you. He's been underestimated before. There's a guy named Bulger who underestimated him some time ago, and he changed the landscape.
Lynch is not known the way that Scott Brown is. Lynch doesn't have the charisma. He's not as handsome. I mean, all that stuff matters when you're talking about it.
He's brighter.
That's not the issue. In a statewide election, Brown is ahead of the game.
It's not going to be a face-off
with Lynch. It's going to be a face-off with Markey.
Yeah. So,
well, after he gets past Mark.
Yeah. He's not going to get past Markey.
I think he will.
What do you think, Russell? You know these people.
Again, I was having this discussion before. My problem is
just the money.
You
left it on the cutting room floor. No. What were you saying?
It's about money. I just think Markey, and even today you see the speakers out, it's just tough to really beat the establishment. I think the race is won by the person with the most amount of money.
Which would
it's
be
in
Ed
the 90s.
Markey.
Yes, well ahead of
You're
it.
You're talking about the primary. What about the general Scott Brown?
I think if Scott gets in the race, he'll be very difficult to beat. And I'm in agreement that, and I think Scott needs to get in the race. And so for me, as a person who's also elected, I would just simply say there is no other hope, I don't think, within the Republican Party for someone to beat him.
Is that his burden? Should he have to bear that burden because there's no other hope?
Well, he is will be if he loses now, he can run again for the governor. Some people have said, well, if he loses, he's done. No, I still don't see another person who has a name ID and has.
But he didn't have the name ID when he got into this.
But
look,
he has it now.
I think he really does. I think the luster, the hubba hubba factor has been dented. You know, it took a big dent.
But this
and
is
I
the
think,
same
and
guy.
I think he is not. You know, he's a known commodity now.
This is the same guy people were saying might run for president. I mean, so
they were saying that 2 weeks after he was elected.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was kind of sucking the ether then. But I mean, I think that it's like I said, you know, he is mortal now. You know, very much so.
But you know what else is problematic about either of the Democrats winning is that Massachusetts, no matter what you think about the quality of the candidate, there are a lot of people who are independents who hate the concept of a one-party state. Yep. It's just un-American. It's a kind of fascism that people don't feel comfortable about. And Scott Brown is the only hope.
But that's one of the things I think that allows Lynch a kind of foot in the door here. You know, he is not a lockstep Democrat as most people in the state would see.
Right.
I mean, and so I think he can, and I think Brown is very well aware of that. You know, he's seen as the most conservative among the congressional delegation. So I think, in a sense, that speaks to what you're talking about.
All right, let's listen to a little of Stephen Lynch. This was him getting into the Senate race yesterday.
I heard it said that I would not fit in as a member of the U.S. Senate. There is no one like him there, they said. But after I thought about it for a few minutes, I had to agree, because it's true. I will not fit in the United States Senate, but neither would you.
Oh, please.
Well, they loved
that
it.
Who's the
they? They loved it.
I don't believe anybody said that.
Who said that?
Who said that he wouldn't fit in? No one.
That is made up nonsense designed to make him look like an outsider, which is so stupid.
Because he's been in.
It's the stupidest thing I've
heard.
All you
need
is
one person to say you won't fit in.
Nobody said that. Notice how he didn't name the person. Right?
All you need is just one person to say it, though, right?
I don't care. It makes him sound like an idiot. He's not an outsider.
All right. Let's give equal time to Ed Markey. Here's what he said. He hasn't announced. He's announcing tomorrow, but here's what he said.
I'm looking forward to having a statewide discussion of the issues that I want to run on, gun control, climate change, creation of jobs in our state, and protection of the rights of everyone, women, gays, lesbians. And I think it's important for us to have that statewide debate.
Now, this is going to be ugly between two congressmen. There's just no way about it. They're going to be Absolutely. Pointing fingers at each other. Markey voted with the party
yeah,
about 91.3% of the time.
And 85
but,
or something,
but
right?
Lynch,
yeah,
Lynch voted 90% of the time. Right. So it's virtually a dead heat there. It's not like either one of them was a breakaway independent thinker.
But it's just like the race with the president. If you looked at how the president and Hillary were talking last week, they were saying it was tough to find those differences. And so, again, it goes back to what you were saying. It's going to be about the personality. It's going to be mm-hmm. really about those quirks. And unfortunately, that's the way
I think
Ed Markey's got it over him.
Maybe, you know, if you think
I confess he came to my wedding, so I do know
him. All right, well, there you go. All right, well, that's
true
that's,
confession.
That's
now we
explain
it.
But
yeah.
I mean, no.
I think he did.
He might have been very charming at the wedding, but yeah. I mean, you know, the X factor here is, you know, what is this guy going to do on the stump? You know, how charismatic is he going to be? I mean, right, he's got the money. Nobody
he's
can
more charismatic
that.
Than Steve Lynch.
Well, I'm not too sure.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I think Markey has a problem with regard to charisma because he comes across as a kind of academic, intellectual.
Really?
He's got a look about him that's very sedate. I'm not saying he is, but he has that look. That's not. There's no electricity in his appearance. Okay. Nevertheless, he looks a lot more like a senator that when you look at Stephen Lynch, who's got a real
but I think
rough
that's
exterior,
the, right? Which is exactly where he wants
common
to start
man.
From.
He's starting common
that's
man.
That's where he wants.
You
to
You haven't
be.
Listened to Ed. He does all these wind ups. He's very studied, and he does you know studied jokes, studied humor, but he pulls it off. He has a lot of one line.
Well, you
about,
know, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, you're gonna. This is what it's going to be about.
He may be too subtle for the jazz.
I don't
that,
know.
That
I
Lynch
think
offers.
When I think when the push comes to shove in the debates, that
most people don't know Ed Markey. Right. They just
yeah,
don't.
Well, they don't know Steve Lynch either.
Right. Well, they know. I agree.
Why do you
I agree
say that?
They both. Well, I agree. They both have the
Look,
disadvantage
Lynch,
of not being known
right.
so well statewide. But there's something about Markey's. I don't know. He's such a low. Wattage kind of personality. I don't know how he can really become this energized, statewide, exciting.
He reminds
candidate.
Me of one of those supporting males on Downton Abbey.
I keep making those kind of references here myself.
You know, I haven't seen
I mean,
that
it's just
show,
something
but I think
a little
that's
bit
an
too stiff.
It's not like one. I don't know what it is either.
I mean, Ed, yeah, oh, way back when, I mean, gosh, I think he's been in since 1980 or 78, something like that.
I think
I
it's
mean,
going
he was,
40
he was
years.
A really handsome, right. charismatic. I mean, you know, over the time, he's, you know.
He's still kind of handsome.
Yeah,
he just looks
well,
like
well,
a dullard.
At least he's modified that hairdo. It's not quite as Prince Valiant as it was.
Not as quite as combed over. And he's got the... I bet 76. I'm right. 76. That is a long time.
Right. And I think he entered the Massachusetts
that was
house.
Age.
No.
I think he entered the Massachusetts house with Barney Frank. I think they came in together in like 73 or something. And so he's been elected for quite some time.
And he also wants to take that no outside ads pledge like Brown and Warren did. Sure. That I actually think that worked out well in that race. I mean, can you imagine if the outside ads can. Had come in. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it would have helped Scott Brown, but it would have been really ugly.
I don't know how that could have been more ads.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
All right. Well, I guess we've run that one into the ground. But well, I really think Scott Brown is going to have to. Is going to.
I don't think he has to declare now. By the way, I just want to follow
why
up on that.
Why do you think? Let me ask you.
Why
do
should
you
he
think...
declare now? Why doesn't he? Why would he waste a dime and let those two beat the hell out of each other? Why spend a dime? He shouldn't be forced to jump in now.
Why? Why?
Well, he's
all
got
of
a
this?
Deadline.
Why
yeah.
all this
but,
mystery? Why is he? Why is he kind of frozen in place?
I think because he really doesn't know.
I
think he'd like to take a hype. I'm sure he's been offered 1,000 jobs.
Yeah.
You know, make some money. He's been able to make some money on the speaking circuit. I actually overheard him having a conversation with somebody the other day saying that he's done very well on the speaking circuit. You know, he wrote that book. He got a good advance on that. I'm sure he's done really well. And he's thinking, do I really want to go back to...
He's got really smart people running his plans. And he's going to do whatever they tell him to do. And if they thought he should announce by now, he would. I don't think there's any doubt he's going to run for something. The question is, you know, where's his best option? And look, no matter what you think of Scott Brown, he may equivocate as a human being. The people around him are politically... geniuses, and they know exactly what the plan is.
I don't know about
they
that.
They are geniuses.
I think the last time
they're so
out.
Genius. How come he lost?
Because you can't.
And they're the same people that had Romney.
This was a presidential.
They told him
election.
To hammer that that
lost,
Native American thing, and
it was a presidential election that brought people out of the
hammered the wrong.
He would have won had this not been.
Wendy, there were lots of crossover potential in that in that race. I actually thought that there would be more. I would have said, hey, I would have even done a whole thing. I said this a million times about splitting the vote.
He worked against his own image.
That's right.
When he hammered that
Native American
thing, he became a bore. I mean, he, you know, this,
no,
this
no.
I mean, he was running ads, scripted ads about, you know, I know women, I live in a house of women and stuff, and yet he was just, you know, just beating
up
on her.
But he was supposed to be a nice guy.
Right, exactly.
He was supposed to be a nice guy. A nice guy would not have run those ads.
What she did about lying about being an Indian and taking that position based on being a minority, that should have been, and if she had been a Republican, if she had been a Republican,
that
would have destroyed her. That would have destroyed her. It hasn't been settled.
Yes,
it has not. The public is still upset about that. And Scott Brown, look at that. Whatever we think about why he lost, he has a tremendous opportunity to win whatever damn race he wants now.
All right.
He's going to
do it when the time
is right.
Okay. Talking to attorney Wendy Murphy, Boston Herald columnist Peter Galzinis, and State Representative Russell Holmes. Russell, were you at the mayor's State of the City the other night? I know you were, Peter.
Yes, I was.
And what'd you think?
I thought that the State of the City, the most important things were not what he said, but how he looked, and it looked great.
He looked a tad waxy, but all right, go ahead.
He walked in strong and fast.
There is, you know, you could see that the imprint of the ordeal is still there on his face. But he did do what he had to do, which was make that walk down the aisle. You know, as Reverend Eugene Rivers called it, a gangster walk. You know, he really was forceful.
He looked strong. He did.
Yeah, and, you know, it was really choreographed well. I mean, they had that kind of fence around
all those important
the
people there.
Podium, and, you know, he was able to pull himself up.
And he
that
never
one
sat
step.
In the chair.
You know,
no,
seriously,
he didn't, no.
Come on. Remind me of a Lifetime television movie where the door opens. Will he walk? Won't he walk?
That's what it was.
Oh,
that's exactly
before
what it
and
was.
After.
And you knew that he had
the
come
biggest
up
loser
on the
before
elevator.
And after.
Right, he had come up
so
on the elevator. You know,
sappy
he
stupid.
I thought that was great.
Ugh. No,
I mean,
it was very dramatic.
He's healthy and he sounded okay. That doesn't make him qualified in terms of his health to run for the job.
That's true.
Nor should he stay longer than...
Well, I
think it's time for him to go because he's been there too long.
And I'm not, you know, I think when I was... I spoke to Charles Yancey, and I think he sort of left open that possibility that, you know, they still don't know. I mean, the family's going to have to face that and be honest with it and whether or not, you know, they think he can stand up to another 4 years.
Like
I mean,
he's
the only reality there is. So there's, you know, the only challenger he needs to worry about is himself. And so I'm not prepared to say that, you know, he's definitely going to do it. But I think it's in the final analysis, that's going to be between him, the wife and his
kids. I think it's also up to the public to say to itself, should we reelect a guy whose list of health problems, serious health problems,
goes on and on. Do you want to see him on the treadmill?
No, because he could flop. I mean, he is a very sick man. No matter what you think, he's had a tremendous number of very serious ailments. Right. That's something the public has a right to take into account when deciding to elect
somebody.
They will.
And they'll elect him anyway.
That's right.
Well, that's because he employs enough votes to get him in, irrespective of whether he deserves the job. He employs enough people to command to vote for him.
I'm not going to deny that, but whose fault is that?
It's
you know,
not
you
democracy,
don't have,
though.
You don't have a parallel universe because there's not enough interest in people in this city now forming one. You know, there really isn't. I mean, there hasn't been since Timothy ran against White, and it was a much different city then with a much different kind of economic base and everything else. So the notion, it's true that once you're in that office, the voting
it's a
block,
dictatorship.
The voting block that sustains
really
is our people who have a direct connection to
but
to
the
city.
Other part is,
yeah,
okay,
come on, you
so,
live in the city here.
So the other part is he's also delivered, right? So when you think about it, 20 years ago, the city was in a certain place, and now 20 years later, it is in a much better place. And so, yes, I agree that there are certain folks that he employ, and there's the machine does run, but there's also the fact that there's proven evidence that he's done a good job, and so that is part of why folks will continue to
elect them. Do you not agree, though, that sometimes it's just wrong to stay too long?
I do agree with that.
But that's the people's call.
I mean, and there's no such thing as the people's call if what we just said is right about. It's really his own dictator-like ability to command
Well, he may be. You know what he is? I mean, if you want to use that thing, but he is also very, very, I mean, he makes it a point to be sensitive to Boston as it exists today. And that's across the spectrum of race, which I think is one of the reasons he is, as you know, some people have said, as beloved as he is. Because, you know, people understand that in a variety of neighborhoods, and they need to. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there. That's the romantic version of power, Peter. It's also a fact.
I don't agree with that. No, well, a lot of people love him because they know better than to diss him. That's not respect. That's
intimidation.
That's right.
Intimidation.
That's exactly right. I'm not saying there's not some truth to that. I'm just saying a lot of it is I have no choice.
Well,
if he didn't have the
sensitive side of that, then, you know, I mean, you can talk about intimidation, but I think it has to be balanced. I mean,
by the way,
I don't
Peter, this just in, you're wondering why Scott Brown needs to say something. According to WCVB, anyway, he is going to put out a statement today at 1 o'clock. So we'll be watching for that in the next half hour or so.
Sure.
I mean, it could be just a benign statement, something along the manner as I'm weighing my options, or it could be something a little bit more dramatic that he's going to, you know.
I'm betting it's benign.
What could a benign statement say, though?
I'm weighing my options.
Yeah. Right. I'll let you know soon.
Because if he was going to announce, he would say,
I'll have an announcement.
Well, you know, that would be in keeping with him because, I mean, he on a lot of those votes, you never understood where he was going to go ultimately until, like, the last minute, you know. So, I mean, I could see him doing that.
I still believe Scott's in. I believe he should run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
All right, before we move on to our thumbs up, thumbs down in the next segment, I just wanted to touch on the debate that was going on in Congress this week, and it's something that, of course, Mayor Tom Menino spoke about also, and that is guns. I mean, he says he doesn't think more guns is the solution along the lines of what Wayne LaPierre was saying. A lot of the mayors across the country feel the same way. It was really dramatic this week to see Gabrielle Giffords testify before that committee. I mean, she's in bad shape. I mean, they always pull her out, but she's brain damaged. I mean, she's in bad shape.
But it's still, I mean, it's a heroic thing.
Oh, it is.
Given where she was, she's
a person we thought was dead.
I know, but I wonder if she even knows what she's saying or whether she's reading something. It's hard to tell. She's not in good shape.
But can I just say one thing? Because she has been diagnosed, from what I've read, with a condition called aphasia. And by the way, Channel 2 is running an important film on aphasia this weekend, 3 o'clock on Sunday, just as a side.
Just tell people what that is.
Yeah,
that's when you can't.
Bob Woodruff had that too. It's a really
after he was blown up, it's a profoundly
misunderstood condition. Yeah. I happen to have represented a woman with aphasia, so I can say this. They are often misunderstood to be both severely injured, intellectually disabled, mentally ill, whatever, sick. And it really is only a language-based disorder because it's the way the brain processes information. So you can come across as struggling mightily, but inside your brain, you know exactly what's going on.
Do you know for a fact that that's what she has?
Yes, she's been diagnosed. Her doctors have been on television talking about her condition.
Yeah, because as I said, Bob Woodruff had that too. He has since basically regained his speech ability.
Yeah, not everybody recovers the way he did. But the point is
that's good to know.
Yeah, the point is that most people do really well. They just can't express it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I mean, I can't imagine the Congress passing any kind of significant gun legislation.
I think something's going to happen, at least with making sure we have some type of universal check. And so obviously with a assault weapon, I don't think that has any hope, but something that we all push and say everyone should have a background check, I think that might get through.
I don't understand the brouhaha about background checks because, frankly, most criminals who get access to guns don't have a background that would raise any red flags because they haven't yet been convicted of anything. Background checks are a fake sense of security. What I was disappointed in terms of the proposals was there was very little focus on increasing the enforcement of existing laws, punishing more of the criminals who use guns to commit acts of violence, increasing the punishment, increasing prosecution, expanding the budgets for more prosecutions. You can pass all the laws you want. We already aren't spending, nearly enough money enforcing existing violations of gun laws.
The problem with I don't think it's a false sense of protection because of the fact that we need to know where the guns are. At least the background checks allow us to then be able to track who last had the gun. I mean, so then you can try to figure out how did this person get this gun illegally, so then we can go out and try to enforce, as you say, why did this person come in and shoot this gun?
But if I go in tomorrow, right, and I'm planning to commit a bank robbery with my gun, you do a background check on me, you're going to say, give her a gun. She's got no background to worry about. But I'm planning to go rob a bank.
But you're not that typical person who's going to go rob a bank.
I'm saying lots of people get guns with no significant background. So the background check is not meaningful. What's meaningful is fierce and fast and tough enforcement of existing gun crimes, which the president did not call for. And I don't get that. That's irrational.
All right. By the way, I just want to get into another thing. We've been kind of waiting for this to come down, and it just happened this morning. That is that, the Harvard cheating scandal, where people took that take-home exam.
Sure.
And it's been since a year ago, May, since this. I think I have the timing on that right. Anyway, they just came down today. 125 kids, half of them have been forced to withdraw. So it's been a real deliberative process. Apparently, each individual kid was called in and, given some, they testified before this committee in Harvard, and now they've determined that half of those kids are going to be thrown out.
Wow. Now if they could only throw out some of the rapists that they never seem to punish nearly enough. Wow, no, that's incredible.
It is, because it did seem like there was some confusion. It was one of these take-home exams. And I mean, you're never supposed to collaborate on an exam. I know that. But anytime you can take something home, it's like, not only is it tempting, but I think it's just obvious that you're going to check some other sources, whether it be your computer or something. You're not going to
I think I said the last time we spoke about this on the show, I think that you would think kids at Harvard would be smart enough to realize that, this wasn't going to work. I mean,
The thing that brought them down, I think that they all had such similar. Yeah.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean. I mean, it was, I don't know where they thought, how they thought it was going to get by, but.
They should have thrown that professor out too.
Right, I think that's silly to hand out a takeout exam over the weekend and don't expect all of us in a dorm room are going to at least talk about it. I think, I agree with you, Emily. That's a silly thought.
Yeah.
Well, withdrawing doesn't mean they can't reapply and get back in if they're just
forced to withdraw. I would say I can't answer that.
Only expulsion means you can't reapply. Withdrawal usually means you can reapply.
More than half the students who were brought before the university's administrative board were required to withdraw from the college for a period of time. So they've already lost the fall semester and the spring semester. So that's $80,000 or more, $100,000, $104,000, whatever it is. So maybe they can apply in a year or two. Would you want to go back? I guess I would. If I was
I wouldn't send my dog to Harvard. That place is toxic. I've spent a year there. My husband went to law school there. There's a lot to be said for the power of the degree, but it is a very hostile environment to women. Rape is very pervasive there. They don't treat rape victims with respect, and that's something I care enough about that I wouldn't send anybody there.
I can't speak to that. I don't know about that.
I can simply say I look forward to one day being able to attend. So
there you go, Russell. Me too.
There you go.
I'd love to have a Harvard degree.
Oh, please.
Come on, Wendy.
Oh, please.
So your husband went, and does he have a Harvard degree?
Yeah. He's a Harvard Law
School
graduate.
He's a big hotshot lawyer now.
So what? That doesn't mean he liked it. He graduated with honors from law school.
He likes the paycheck he gets every week.
It's an entree into a whole world. Harvard degree.
And a whole network of people.
It's overrated. They are not friendly to women. I don't want women to go to school there until they fix their problems with pervasive rape on campus. And then I will have my children apply.
I don't know if you're right about that, Wendy.
I am right about it. I've written law review articles about it. I wouldn't say it out loud if I didn't know it personally. Yeah. I've represented rape victims who were raped at Harvard. I know how they treat women there. It's a terrible environment.
All right. We're just going to move on from that. Talking to Peter Galzinis, Wendy Murphy, and State Representative Russell Holmes when we come back. Our thumbs up, thumbs down on the people, places, and issues making the news this week. I'm Emily Rooney, and this is Boston Public Radio. This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Emily Rooney. It's time for Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down, where we ask our panelists for a quick take on news items from the news this week. Joining me here are State Representative Russell Holmes, Boston Herald columnist Peter Galzinis, and attorney and adjunct professor at New England Law Boston, Wendy Murphy. Ladies and gentlemen, get your thumbs ready. We started this week in review with politics, so we'll start our thumbs up, thumbs down with the same subject. Thumbs up, I hope you all saw this. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Was the 60 Minutes interview with President Obama and Hillary Clinton a softball setup? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
You thought it was good?
No, I thought it was bad.
Oh, you thought it was bad. Oh, it's thumbs down. You thought it was bad. Okay, I'll go with that. Was it bad? Thumbs down.
I have to keep my thumb to myself because I only saw a clip of it on CNN. I don't know the answer to the question, but it wouldn't surprise me that it was too soft and that 60 Minutes would have done it for that purpose.
I thought it was enjoyable.
I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was fine.
Me too.
For what it was.
I didn't understand the criticism. I thought it was awesome. The two of those people together, it was
awesome. A lot of talk about, well, they were, you know,
yeah, there's no, like, daylight between us.
But your question was about whether or not it was a softball or not. It was definitely a softball, I thought. I mean, I didn't hear a tough, real Benghazi question.
No, that wasn't, I don't think that was a
They asked Benghazi, but I agree it wasn't the place for that.
No. No, that was fine. It was very enjoyable.
All right. Continuing with our political segment here, thumbs up, thumbs down, on 75-year-old Dutch Queen Beatrix stepping down after 33 years to hand the baton to her son. Wendy?
Thumbs up, thumbs down. I don't think anybody cares about this queen stuff anymore.
Yes, they do. Everybody cares about it.
What is it? It's what is it? It's like sports.
I think the lady in England ought to follow suit.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
See?
Yeah.
So thumbs up.
Yeah. Who gives
it to you, Wendy?
No. Please, I don't care about pregnancy either.
Give Charles a chance.
Did you care about her portrait?
Her portrait?
The painting. Their official portrat that everybody's giving the thumbs down to.
Oh, I didn't like the portrait at all.
I haven't seen it or read about it.
Oh, God, Wendy.
Please.
Come on.
Who cares?
All right, moving along, because Wendy doesn't care.
Look at the money they have.
Look
at the money.
They shouldn't have that much money.
You're alone on
this. I would not allow that.
You don't watch Downton Abbey either.
No.
All right, thumbs up, thumbs down on Geraldo Rivera, considering a run for New Jersey senator against Cory Booker or whoever else decides to get in. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs down, definitely.
Why?
I love him.
Because of the fact that... I think that
he's another New Jersey gangster. Yeah, I guess.
Exactly.
So, you know, what are you going to do?
Before you run for Senate, have another role that shows that you've been accountable to people before. So, no, thumbs down.
Why do you have to do that?
He'd be colorful.
Geraldo is an attorney. He's a trained lawyer.
Al Franken ran.
He's a nut.
Ronald Reagan ran from Hollywood.
But he was a governor.
Geraldo Rivera is
What about
so...
Al Franken?
Yeah,
what
Al
about
Franken?
Clint Eastwood?
Did Clint Eastwood win anything?
He was mayor of Carmel.
Okay.
Well, Frank.
How big is Carmel?
How about Sonny Bono's wife?
To incite Wendy again, I mean, Franken is a Harvard grad, right?
So. Anyway, thumbs up. I love Geraldo, too.
I love
Who
Geraldo.
Said that? I do,
and he's
too.
A trained attorney. He's smart. And
he's
funny.
He's
really
crazy. I'm just saying a statewide position.
He's
be
smart.
Great to have something
and he blurbed my book.
Oh, good.
There you go.
So now we're biased again.
There you go.
He went to Emily's wedding and he burned your book.
No, that was Ed Markey.
Right.
It was a long time ago. I'll probably be disqualified from interviewing him. Anyway, let's see. Moving on to our school segment. Thumbs up, thumbs down on a Hyannis Elementary School, and this is for real, threatening to suspend a 5-year-old student for building a gun out of Legos at an
after-school
program.
No way. Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
I'll represent the boy for free.
Thumbs down.
That's
the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, stupid. Absolutely stupid.
He's 5.
You know, Hyannis has enough problems with real guns.
And I don't know if it was a boy or
girl. The father probably helped him do it.
I'm assuming it was a boy.
Yeah.
It says student, but I'm
assuming
it's a boy.
That's
true. I was sexist there.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to other thumbs up, thumbs down in the school category. Should a Miami police officer be nominated for Father of the Year? He allowed his 10-year-old daughter the use of 3 drug-sniffing dogs and an ounce of cocaine for her science fair project because she wanted to find out which dog would find the cocaine first.
Thumbs down.
Where do you get this stuff?
Yeah. Wow.
No way. Make him pay for the resources.
This is a police officer.
Make him pay for the use of the
dog. How he was able to pull that off is amazing.
First of all, this is a classic case of where the father, the parents, are doing the science project for you.
Yep.
I would have disqualified her on that alone.
I think the cocaine is supposed to be under lock and key, isn't
right.
it? I mean,
But where did he get the coke from? That's a very
in,
good question.
Out of the evidence file, yeah, where do you think? Or are you that or he's a toker. Right. All right, moving on. Thumbs up, thumbs down on a tough student who's filing an age discrimination complaint against the university because its senior night activities take place in bars and other places that allow students that only allow students 21 years and older. Filing discrimination complaint against the university. Thumbs down.
Yeah.
Thumbs down.
I'm done.
Who? Is there a lawyer involved in this stupid lawsuit?
Probably.
They need you, clearly.
I don't get that. I don't understand where. Tufts is a good school where kids are smart, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently not as smart as Harvard.
Apparently they let in a few that aren't so smart.
All right. We got a couple of grab bag items here. Thumbs up, thumbs down. This is our banned category. On the Cambridge City Council is requesting to draft a bill to ban plastic bags in the city. That I think Brookline did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Banning plastic bags. Thumbs up, thumbs down, Wendy.
Thumbs down, please.
Thumbs down.
Focus on some stuff that matters.
Down.
Brookline banned, I think, styrofoam.
Plastic bottles or something.
Styrofoam.
Oh, yeah.
Concord.
Dunkin' Donuts cups. Wow.
Concord banned the whatever. The bottle, the water
bottle.
Bottles. Yeah. Here we go. All right. No thumbs up, thumbs down would be complete, ladies and gentlemen, without a sports category. And this one's going to be Super Bowl centric. But thumbs up, thumbs down. Will Beyonce lip sync the Super Bowl halftime show? And don't tell me you don't care, Wendy.
Well, I love Beyonce.
I do too.
I just think she's fantastic. And I don't care whether she lip syncs or not. And if she can't sing well because it's too cold for her little lungs, then she should. And she should just put there should be a sticker under her name. I'm partly lip syncing and we'll all be fine about it.
She made clear yesterday that she's going to sing. Did you see it yesterday?
Yes.
I wouldn't blame her either. I had no problem with her lip syncing. Don't tell me you don't care.
No, I don't care. I don't care that she lip synced. I don't understand why it's controversial. It's not like she's that crazy band. Remember that band was totally famous 20 years ago?
Milli Vanilli.
The one thing I didn't understand about that is why didn't she have the time to at least rehearse with that?
Well, she said it was because she was practicing for the Super Bowl.
And she has a new baby.
Moving along.
Be quiet.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Should the NFL fine San Francisco 49ers player Chris Culliver after he said in an interview that gay players are not welcome on the team? Should he be fined for that? Or just, you know?
Reprimanded,
if he gets fined or sanctioned for saying something anti-gay, then the next time an NFL player beats the hell out of his girlfriend and doesn't get fined, I will lodge a protest.
I say no.
I think something should happen.
I think he's been embarrassed enough.
Yeah, right. He did apologize, but I don't know. I think a little sanction wouldn't hurt him. All right. Hey, but what about it? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Are you going to be following the Harbaugh brothers? Do you have a favorite in this? Do you know who the Harbaughs are, Wendy?
Ooh. No. What is that?
Those are the two coaches, the Bro Bowl, right? Do I have that right? Edgar, the Bro Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's the Bro Bowl.
Are you rooting for John and Jim Harbaugh?
I'm not necessarily rooting for one of the guys over the other. Although I would say, as somebody who has a younger brother, I think that it's going to be hard on the older brother.
I'm rooting for the older brother.
Absolutely.
I don't even know who's playing.
Oh gosh, that was going to be my final. Which one? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Do you want the Ravens to win, Peter?
No, I'd like to see the 49ers win. Not because the Ravens beat the Patriots, just because I'd be interested to see how this quarterback
does. Not asking
does,
you, Wendy.
I didn't know they were playing.
I know.
I'm a 49ers guy. Grew up a Jerry Rice guy, which is about this whole Randy Moss comment. How dare Randy Moss say.
I'm going for the Ravens simply for the fact that they beat
us.
He's
number one.
All right. Thank you very much to our guests here today, Russell Holmes, Peter Gelsinas, and Wendy Murphy. And as you heard a minute ago, Edgar B. Herwick III is here.
Hello, Emily. So it's the first Friday of the month, if you can believe it. It's February already. Tomorrow's Groundhog's Day of all. Can you believe that, too? But anyway, first Friday of the month here, we look up into the stars, into the skies, at the month ahead and what's happening in outer space. This month is a very interesting one, including middle of the month, February 15th, there's going to be an asteroid that comes incredibly close to Earth.
I love all that stuff.
Closer than most communication satellites. That's
all
how
right,
close
and,
this thing
and please keep an eye on whatever it is, Scott Brown has to say, if he really does have something to say at one.
We absolutely
we
will.
Told listeners we would.
All right.
Thanks, Edgar.
All
bye.
Right. That's it. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, and this is Boston Public Radio.
The worst to me. big sky, look down on all the people who think they got problems.